And the Bible reading for our Easter Day sermon is Galatians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Allow me to read this for us. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. A new creation. And this is the word of the Lord. We're all quite obviously celebrating Easter together this morning. But it is entirely possible to celebrate Easter and still miss what really happened because of the resurrection of Christ. Our celebration of Easter isn't complete until we fully grasp the meaning of this phrase, new creation, in this passage. The resurrection is not just a miracle of the crucified Son of God coming back to life, but the resurrection of Christ is also the inauguration of an altogether new creation. We may have been Christians for decades, we may even be born again, but if this phrase, new creation, does not excite the affections of our hearts, we haven't fully understood Easter. So listen, we can believe that Jesus rose again from the dead without actually living in the new world that Christ has created through his resurrection. And so for our Easter sermon this morning, I'd like to focus sharply on this one phrase, new creation, new creation. I don't know if you've all watched this movie called The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. It stars Brad Pitt. And the movie has a really weird storyline. In normal life, we are all growing older day by day. But in this movie, Benjamin Button's life actually flows in reverse. If you watch the movie, you'll know that he grows younger day by day. He actually begins his life looking old and frail, but he grows younger and stronger day by day. And by the end of the movie, he has actually become an infant. This feels strange, almost unnatural, because it reverses the order that we are used to. But this is what the resurrection of Christ does to us. It reverses the natural order of life. Because of Jesus, we're all not slowly moving toward death, but we are moving toward eternal life. It is as if death itself has been reversed. C.S. Lewis captures this beautifully in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And after Aslan, the lion, rises from the dead, he explains what his resurrection accomplished. And this is what Aslan says. If a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's place, the table would crack and death itself would start working backwards. Death itself would start working backwards. And in the movie and in the book, Aslan goes on to prove this. He goes to the witch's castle where everybody is frozen to death, and he breathes onto the frozen statues and they come back to life. Death is indeed reversed. This is the joy and the blessing of Easter. And so the resurrection is not just a miracle of the crucified Son of God coming back to life. It is the inauguration of a new creation, a new world, a new way of life where everything begins to work in reverse. And now the question is this. Is your life working in reverse? Is your life moving in the direction of the resurrection, or is your life still moving in the direction of the old world? Which world system are you living in? In the world system we know, in the world, the system of this world, chasing career success will mean enslavement and burnout. But serving others through God's good gift of work will bring joy and rest. Obsessively saving for our retirement will make us feel as if nothing is ever enough. But when we also give generously, we will develop a deep trust that God will provide. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will not bear fruit. And Jesus said, whoever is the first will be the last, and whoever is the last will be the first. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will find it. And so which world system are you living in? Now, with that slightly long introduction, I'd like to draw three things for us from this short passage that we're looking at. First, by his resurrection, Jesus has made each of us into a new person. By his resurrection, second, Jesus has created a new family. And third, by his resurrection, Jesus has created a new world. A new person, a new family, and a new world. If this is your first time in New City Church, you will be hearing this as a standalone sermon, and that's completely fine. It's actually designed to be that way. But for those of us who are part of New City, this is the 10th and the final sermon in our series on the New Testament book of Galatians. So let's look at the first of those three things for this morning. By his resurrection, Jesus has made us, in each of us, into a new person. A true Christian, a true follower of Jesus, is not someone who has become a better person because of Jesus. A true follower of Christ is someone who has become a new creation because of Christ. Quite often, we tend to think of our spiritual growth as slowly becoming better and better so that God would be pleased and that he would bless us. This is wrong. Real spiritual growth is becoming who we already are in Christ. The moment we believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became a new creation. When you believed in Jesus, you did not become a better person. You became a new creation. That's what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Think about this phrase, new creation. It communicates the idea that God has created us afresh. God has created us all over again through the resurrection of Christ. He has not merely improved us. He has not just downloaded a software update like we get on our phones. Through the resurrection of Christ, God has created us all over again. We are a new creation. But what does this new creation, what does that really mean? First of all, in the sight of God, we are brand new. Because of Jesus, because of his death and his resurrection, God no longer sees us as sinners who must be judged. But God sees us as people who have already been truly forgiven and declared righteous. Every sin, past, present, and future, has been completely forgiven, and Christ has covered us with his own righteousness. There is no remaining guilt. There is no pending punishment, no unfinished payment. In God's eyes, the old person who was once guilty, condemned, and defined by sin, that person is dead, crucified with Christ. And in its place, a completely new person stands before him, accepted, righteous, and fully approved by God himself forever. It is as if we never sinned. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf, we are a new and perfect creation in God's eyes. This is what it means to be a new creation. Now, I know we don't always feel like a new creation. I get it. It feels as if we keep failing in the same sin over and over and over again. Trust me, I know this feeling all too well. But this does not mean that we are not a new creation. Let me unpack this with an illustration. Now imagine the Chancellor of Germany calls you and grants you German citizenship. He sends you a German passport along with flight tickets to Berlin. You take the flight, and the moment you set foot on German soil, your identity has changed forever. You are no longer an Indian citizen. You are now a German citizen. Now, you did not become slowly more and more and more German until finally one day you became German enough to be called a German citizen. No, you became a German citizen the moment you received German citizenship. But, and this is important, just because you have become a German citizen, your behavior does not change instantly. You're still going to like Indian food. You're still going to talk like an Indian. You're still going to think like an Indian. You're still going to feel like an Indian. But then again, just because you feel like an Indian does not mean you are not a German. You have already become a German citizen, but some of the remnant of that Indian behavior continues. And it'll probably take months and very likely even years for you to become fully German in your behavior. But the reality, your legal status is the moment you became, moment you received your passport, you became a German citizen. And so similarly, even though some of the remnant of our old behavior might continue, we might continue to struggle with that for some time, we became a new creation the moment we believed in Jesus. We may not feel like a new creation sometimes, but in God's eyes, we are already a new creation, and that is what matters the most. Listen, whether we feel like it or not, if our faith in Jesus is true, then we are already a new creation in God's eyes. And so the real question is this: how soon are we going to start living like the new creation that we already are in Christ Jesus? That's the first thing. We are a new creation because of the resurrection of Jesus. Second, by his resurrection, Jesus has created a new family. Jesus died for anyone who would ever believe in him. He died not just for Jews, he died not just for Christians, he died and rose again from the dead for all people. And in Christ, God has not only forgiven us, but he has also adopted adopted us. So now God himself is our heavenly Father. And if God is our Father, then we're all one family. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all one family in Christ. But you know, this idea of the church being a new family can be very confusing for some of us. For a few of us, it can even be deeply unsettling. This talk of church as a family can freak you out a little. Let me explain why I say this. In India, many of us have lived through a shift from joint families to nuclear families. The old joint family gave us closeness, it gave us support, it gave us a shared life, but it also came with pressure, conflict, and lack of personal space. We were loved, but we felt stifled. The new nuclear family has given us more freedom. It has given us more privacy. It has given us more control. But it has also made life smaller, quieter, and often more alone. We gained freedom, but we lost community. And many of us are feeling confused in the social transition. We want closeness, but we also want control of our own lives. We want belonging, but we also want independence. We are deeply conflicted within. And sadly, we carry the same confusion from our biological families into the spiritual family of the local church. We want the warmth of community, but only at a safe distance. We want to be in this joyful community. We want the joy we see in this community. We want more of it, but we're also afraid to commit. Will the church community demand too much from me? Will I lose my freedom? Will I be called out when I sin? If I come into the church community, will I have to open up more than I feel comfortable? These are all real fears. And so we stay on the fringe without really opening up, without really coming in and belonging to the local church. In the local church, we are present, but we are guarded. We are near, but never known. We maintain just enough relational presence to stay connected, but we don't invest enough emotional capital that is needed to truly belong. The truth is, some of us have been flirting with church for many years without really committing to it. But the resurrection of Jesus speaks very specifically into these exact fears. You see, the gospel does not call us into a joint family. The gospel also does not send us out into a nuclear family. Instead, the resurrection of Jesus invites us to a new family. And in this new family, you do not lose your individual identity. You are a new creation. That's an individual term. You are a new person. You are a new individual self. You are personally known. You are individually loved. But at the same time, we're all also not left alone. We are brought into a people. We are brought into a family where we belong. We are given a gospel community. You see, Jesus gives us both individuality and community. He gives us individuality without individualism. Think about that. He gives us individuality, but does not allow us to slip into individualism. And he gives us community without control. Only Jesus can give us both at the same time. And in this family too, everything works in reverse. The world says, protect yourself and you will be safe. But Jesus says, open your life into gospel community and you will find belonging. The world says, stay in control of your life and you will be free. But Jesus says, give yourself and you will find true freedom. The world says, keep your distance and you will avoid pain. But Jesus says, step in and you will find life. Let me repeat what I said in the beginning. You can believe in the resurrection of Jesus, but still keep your distance away from the new family that the risen Christ has created. Will you allow Christ to draw you into his new family? He's already given you a new self. Will you allow him to also give you a new family? And that brings us to the third and the last thing. By his resurrection, Jesus has created a new world. A new person, a new family, and a new world. Jesus has given us a new self. He has also given us a new family. But here's a question. Is Jesus asking us to still live in the same old broken world? The answer is both yes and no. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This is present tense. This means when we believe in Jesus, we are already a part of this new world. And yet, the Bible also tells us that one day, when Christ comes again, future tense, he will bring a new heaven and a new earth. He will bring a new world where everything will be absolutely perfect and utterly beautiful once again. So this new world is already there, already here, but not yet. We are already citizens of this new world, according to Ephesians, but we are not residents of it yet. Our citizenship is in heaven, but our present address is still here on earth. And one day, we will not go up to heaven, but heaven, the Bible tells us, will come down to earth. God assures us in the last two books of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, that when Christ comes again, he will bring the new heavenly city with him and he will give us a new heaven and a new earth here. So, how then are we to live now? Which city do we live in now? Let me give you another scenario to think about this. Imagine this scenario. Imagine that you know with absolute certainty that you're going to get a 1 crore rupee bonus next month. That's what you get when you all come for the Easter service. Just kidding. We're not that kind of a church. We don't speak blessings like that, so we're not that kind of a church. An illustration. Imagine you're going to get a 1 crore bonus, and this bonus is guaranteed. The CEO of your company himself has walked up to you and he said, you're going to get this 1 crore bonus next month. If he tells you that, how are you going to live your life this month? Think about it. If you know you're going to get a 1 crore bonus next month, how are you going to live your life this month? You see, your present life will be completely reshaped by this assured hope of a future bonus. You see, this is how the resurrection of Christ makes our lives work in the reverse. Of course, Christ is infinitely more worthy than this 1 crore bonus. And so the glorious hope of our eternal life with Christ shapes us in the present hardships of this old world. The hope of our eternal future has already broken into the present. And so now our future is shaping our present. Remember what the world thinks like, what we all assume subconsciously. We all think that how we live in the present will shape our future, right? But we live in the reverse. Our present does not shape our future. Our future hope in Christ, that shapes our present. And so because we have an assured, infinite, eternal bonus coming, here and now, we don't need to chase selfish career success at any cost. We can rest. We can work to also serve others. Because we know that we have an infinite reward, a short reward that is coming to us, in business, we are free to serve and not exploit. In our lifestyle, we are free to be content and not compare ourselves with others. In ministry, we are free to seek the good of others rather than the glory of ourselves. All this is possible only because we are absolutely sure that our future bonus in Christ is infinitely greater than any earthly reward. Let me tie this all up by showing us three pictures. Here's the first picture. You can tell I'm not an artist. Here's the first picture. The resurrection of Christ invites us to all three aspects of the new creation: a new self, a new family, and a new world. That's the first picture. If you consider yourself a follower of Christ, but you have no meaningful relationship in the local church, aren't you missing out on celebrating Easter fully? Or consider the opposite scenario, which also can be true. If you are deeply plugged into the local church, if you're leading worship, if you're preaching, and you don't have a meaningful personal relationship with Christ, aren't you also missing out on the full joy of Easter? All three are equally important: new person, new family, new world. Without all three, we may believe that Jesus rose again from the dead, but we are not yet fully living in the new reality that Christ has ushered in through his resurrection. That's the first picture. Here is the second picture. And in this picture, the world is pulling us away from the reality of a new creation. We know this. We all struggle with this. Our work, whatever we watch on the net, everything around us is pulling us away from the reality of this new creation. And it's not just this world that is pulling us. Our own old sinful desires are also pulling us away from this new creation. And so this is real. We are in the thick of this battle. Every one of us will face this battle every single day of our lives. And that's the second picture. But here is the third picture. The third picture is a picture of hope and assurance. In this picture, it is not our strength or our effort that helps us remain new creation. It is the resurrection power of Jesus that draws us and keeps drawing us back into the fullness of His new creation. Jesus pulls us in with His resurrection power that is at work in us by His Holy Spirit. So let me close with this. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, the new creation has already begun. And so, you are not who you used to be. And you are not yet who you will be. You're not who you used to be. You've changed, you've grown, you've been transformed. But you're not yet who you will be. You're not yet fully transformed. I'm not yet fully transformed. So we're not who we used to be. We're not who we will yet become, who we will yet become. But right now, right here, you are already His. You belong to Jesus. We belong to Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we worship You. We thank You, Lord. And truly, as Your word says, You are working in us with Your resurrection power by Your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, even though we may have been distracted, we may have strayed away from this powerful reality and assurance that we are a new person, a new family, living in a new world, all because of the resurrection of Jesus. Forgive us for straying. Forgive us for losing our way. And so, Lord, would You help us to come back to this reality of the new creation that You've called us to be. And Father, we pray, may this Easter day be a day where we're truly renewed in the knowledge that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Even as we partake in the Lord's Supper, may the very spiritual presence of Christ by Your Holy Spirit draw us in to experience the resurrection power of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.